one thing that was very consistent was that there was going to be some type of event that was like a pinnacle of consciousness evolution that we were heading into in our lifetime. And I got so much data on this, so many dreams that talked about it. And then I concluded, if this is really for real, then I'm not going to content myself with trying to go out there and say, well, yeah, I'm a psychic, and here's the proof that my source is sometimes accurate, and this is what it's saying. I said, if this is really going to happen, if the whole world is going to go through some type of very noticeable, very profound energetic shift, which is what I was being told, then let's just throw away the intuitive data entirely, and let's go completely back to nuts and bolts, scientific stuff that can be proven. Now, that being said, I think a lot of us in this community have battered women's syndrome in that, you know, we're going to have to sit down and realize, okay, daddy doesn't love me, which means the scientific community, you know, they're not going to accept this stuff beyond a certain point. And if we're trying to convince them, we're probably wasting a lot of our effort. I feel that this venue, Coast to Coast, is the summit of where this material is being disseminated to the public.
Well, indeed it is. And let me ask you now then, David, are you still doing prophecies of the future? Do you see anything up there for us?
Yeah, there are prophecies that I had that have not yet come true. I have seen the collapse of the United States federal government and the U.S. turning into a set of balkanized nation states. I don't know for certain if that's still going to happen. I don't think it's going to involve as much economic turmoil for the average person as you might think. And the case history for that is the Soviet Union, which actually, you know, broke up. But the actual quality of life for the average citizen did not change that much. But I do believe that what we're now seeing with 9/11 truth is reaching a critical mass and will not simply be stopped. And I believe that the civilian outrage is going to reach a point where you are actually going to see the unthinkable happen. And I believe that some of the news organizations are starting to hedge their bets so that they won't lose all their corporate sponsorship once that truth is firmly established as a public reality, including ABC News coming out with stuff about Operation Northwoods, which is a real dicey issue.
Oh, yeah, and we've talked about that. Okay, yeah. Now, of course, a subject dear to all our hearts, and that has to do with 2012. You've done a lot of work there. In your opinion, what do you think is going to happen around December 21st of 2012?
I believe that it is loosely correlated with the idea of what the prophecies say, that it becomes a golden age for humanity. I believe that this is more on an existential level than on a scientific level first. I believe that we're actually going to go through a dimensional shift, which will lead to ascended abilities such as telekinesis, levitation, instantaneous healing, the ability to fast forward and rewind linear time like a videotape, you know, things like that. And I believe that all these potentials lie dormant within human consciousness now, and certain people who begin activating them will be able to use them prior to this happening, and it's already starting. In terms of scientific criteria, there are two key aspects to 2012 that we can discuss tonight. The one of which I gave you some supporting material on before the show, is biological evolution. We now can extremely firmly establish that the Darwinian model of evolution is fraudulent, specifically because you have these long-term cycles in which all life on Earth spontaneously shifts from one type of organism to another. Now, let me give you one of the simpler examples of this that people don't really sit and think about. You have all these shellfish, right? Exoskeleton, meaning that there's a clam, and there's a soft, meaty part inside and a clamshell on the outside. Now, how did they get, by slow, random mutation, from shellfish to bony fish, where the skeleton is on the inside and the flesh is on the outside?
Yeah.
Show me one transitional fossil that's a fish that's got half the skeleton and half the flesh on the surface. You don't see any. And, in fact, all of these Darwinian models, like the horse evolution, where the Eohippus and the various versions of the horse that supposedly evolved into the modern horse, that was disproven. the missing link that supposedly got out of the water and then became a land animal, that hasn't really been found. There are no transitional fossils between Neanderthals where, you know, suddenly the brain size like doubles in capacity between Neanderthal and Cro-Magnon. And it just goes on and on and on. But what's even more interesting is that these cycles occur in even intervals of time. This goes back to two University of Chicago paleontologists named David Rope and John Sepkoski, who discovered a 26-million-year cycle in evolution. And it turns out that we're at the exact halfway point of that cycle right now. It has been precisely 13 million years since the last time that all life on Earth spontaneously upgraded in a very short period of time. More recently, there's another scientist, Dr. Robert Rhodes, spelled R-O-H-D-E, from UC Berkeley. And he discovered another evolution cycle that goes all the way back to the Precambrian area when life was first formed on Earth.
That was close to the asteroid period, right, when we got hit with the big one in the Yucatan?
The most recent, the KT boundary, or the Cretaceous boundary, as it's called, is the one that happened 65 million years ago, which is hypothesized to be caused by an asteroid impact. However, I would propose something entirely different than that as the actual causation. It appears that the Earth is a living free energy system which is continually expanding in size from the inside. Now, in conventional physics, you can't let that happen. In conventional physics, they say that there was a Big Bang and everything was created all at once in the beginning and nothing has been created since then. But that's a very huge logical leap to make. They're basically saying nothing exploded. Nothing exploded. Well, that's cool. Nothing exploded and became everything. And then nothing has been created ever since nothing exploded. Right? But what if the universe is in a continuous state of creation in some areas, and in other areas maybe it's absorbing back into black holes or into the ether, whatever you want to call it. And therefore, if you shrink the Earth down to 55% of its current size by removing the oceans, you can see this in terms of the layers of the ocean. In fact, the whole Pacific Basin is only a few hundred million years old. The crust is much older, and the crust perfectly fits together like a jigsaw puzzle when you remove the oceans. So what appears to happen is that when there's a sudden influx of energy, the Earth spontaneously increases in its physical size sort of in a sudden moment. And in fact, some of these craters that appear to be meteor impacts are actually uprisings from the interior of the Earth.
Because of the sudden change.
Right. Because there's sort of like this surge of magma and so forth that comes out from inside.
How devastating is that for any life that might be on a planet at the time?
Well, it certainly is not a fun event if you're in a biological life form at that time. We're talking about pretty much what they would call the ELE, extinction level event. However, it's important to note that there have been other periods of evolution in which there are no signs of cataclysm, but the species on Earth still have this spontaneous evolution, and there's no evidence of there being a disaster.